Now, as we all likely know, if you've been paying any attention, the housing market, it has been and currently is pretty crazy. You know, I know people that have been looking for houses for quite some time. I know people who have lost deals by higher offers coming in the last minute. And houses overall, in the recent past, they've been like selling the day that they hit the market. And now it's getting even a little crazier and changing a little bit because now interest rates are changing and demand is somewhat dropping. Buying a house can be a crazy endeavor. And as you and I, as we think about the housing market, whether it's either building a home or buying a home, there are just certain features that we usually want, right? Like we want a house with a strong foundation. We want a house usually with a certain layout or special attributes. And many of these things, they are established based upon your or my current season in life, right? And based upon what we as a family value. For Laura and I, we started out in a small one-bedroom apartment, and then we moved into a small house that we actually had to reconfigure a little bit for our growing family, and then we eventually moved into a slightly larger home. And now, though, as we enter somewhat of a new phase where, you know, my son has recently graduated college, and my daughter's heading off to college, we're talking a little bit about what's next for us. Likely, maybe a much smaller house. But no matter the structure of the home, church, I think we all could agree that what's most important is that our home be a place where we as a family can be close and connected. You know, through living together, there just is an intimacy there that you or I don't have really with anybody else. Well, with that, have you ever wondered, have you ever thought about what it would be like to live with God in his house? Now, in the Old Testament, God's house was first a tabernacle, a huge tent-like structure that could move with the people as they journeyed, for he wanted to be with them wherever they went. To be what? To be close and to be connected, even as they traveled. So that fit his and their need for that season of their life. But then as their relationship with God grew, God gave them a land to settle in. And thus, under Solomon's rule, God's house became a temple, a fixed place where the people could be in the very presence of God. They would be with him, close and connected to him. And in fact, in this dedication of the temple, Solomon prayed something. He prayed that this would be a place where people could repent, that this temple would be a place where people could lament and where they could give thanks and where they could intercede for themselves and for others before a holy God. And in this temple, there were three general sections: a general area, a holy area, and the holy of the holies, a place where only the priests could go, a place separated by a curtain. But then later, God says to Isaiah something. He says, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." So this temple, it was a place where everyone could interact with and connect with God in some way, shape, or form. Again, to be what? To be close and connected to him, to God. And it remained that way for hundreds of years with this temple structure. However, I'm telling you what, a new season began when Jesus came to earth. Because it was then that the temple, do you know what it did? It moved again. But this time, it wasn't to a specific location or to a building. You see, Jesus had the power and he had the authority up until this point that had only been available for the temple priests and through them, the power to heal, the power to forgive, the power to cleanse. But throughout his ministry, Jesus revealed something. He revealed that his body was now the new temple, the place where God dwelled. In fact, there was a time where Jesus told the Jewish leaders that if they tore down the temple, he would rebuild it in 3 days. And the people, you know what they did? They scoffed at him, thinking that he meant the physical building, which would take much longer to build back, right? However, John writes this. in John 2, verse 18 to 20. It says the following. But he, Jesus, was speaking of the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. They remembered that he had said, you tear this down, I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. So while on earth, Jesus said that God's dwelling place went from a building to his body. Therefore and thereby, he cleansed the temple. And then, as we will see in a second, God's dwelling people went to his people. His dwelling place went to his people. It went to the church, where it still exists today. To which you may say, you know, what? How can I represent this temple, this dwelling place of God? Well, with that, if you could, and if you're able, would you just stand up for a second? Just stand up for a second. You are now God's house. God's house went from being made of stone and wood to living flesh, church. Your living flesh. My living flesh. And why? Well, because he wants to be close and connected to you and to us. He wants to be close and connected to us. Are you kind of catching a theme here? Now, you might be thinking, let me get this straight, Pastor Keith. God is building his house, not out of bricks and mortars, but out of people? Yes, that's what he is doing. And remember how I said someone, you know, builds a home or they build a house reflecting on what they value? Well, I want you to listen to something, church. God values you, each and every one of you. And he values you and I so much that he wants you to be a part of his house. And if you don't believe me, let's look at some New Testament scripture just to better understand this. You can be seated now. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is describing the church. And in verse 9, he states that we are God's building. And he goes on to say this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 and 16. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Now the you here is plural, okay? It could in fact be translated Pennsylvania style, y'all or you all. He is saying the group as a whole, the capital C church, all of us in this room who are believers in Christ and all true believers everywhere are God's temple, his house, the place in which he dwells. Could God possibly get any closer to us than that? And again, Paul states this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 6, 16, it says this, for we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Church, God is moving his house closer and closer to us. So close that we are a living part of it. And Peter, he brings this even closer to home. He makes it even clearer with his words from 1 Peter 2, 4 to 6. It says this, as you come to him, the living stone, Jesus, okay, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to God, you also, listen to this, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion and choose a precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never, church, never be put to shame. Now notice that Peter uses verbiage here to describe an ongoing building process. You are being built, right? Our foundation, our cornerstone is Jesus. But we are the living stones being placed upon the foundation to build God's house. And we express what it is that God values through all of that. And that is to be close and connected to his people, you see. God is the builder. Jesus is the foundation. And we, you and I, as believers in Christ, we are the building materials. And if you're not a believer in Christ yet, he says, come, join me, be a building material in the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you what, prayer, what this close and connected series is all about. Well, prayer, I'm telling you what, prayer is what keeps us close and connected to the builder. Think about it for a second. Loose stones piled together, they don't make much without anything holding them together, right? That just makes sense. With our connection to God, we would smash up against other stones and break and crack, or we would get too close, you know, too close to the edge and fall over the wall, if you will. Or we'd fall into the wrong places, all because we are not paying attention to the builder. And that's the problem with you and I often. I'll tell you what the problem is. Living building materials, well, we have a mind of our own, don't we? Which is a good thing. That is a gift. But I'm telling you what, left unchecked and left uncounseled by God, that is a dangerous thing. And that can be very ineffective. And quite frankly, in the church today, do you know what? We see a lot of smashing. We see a lot of cracking. We see a lot of falling, don't we? Because, you see, we are doing things on our own way, way too often without paying attention to the divine builder. You see, while God wants unity, we create division. And you know what? God wants us to listen more and before we speak. But well, you know what we do? We often blurt out every thought or response that enters our mind, either on social media or even verbally. And while God wants holiness, we, at the end of the day, we often don't act much different than culture, the culture around us. And while God asks us to listen for and to him, do you know what we do? We often demand that he, and everyone else for that matter, listen to us. And with our connection to God, we are just a bunch of stones lying in a heap of rubble. Well, the one thing that keeps us together again is prayer, the calling upon the Spirit of Jesus, church. The calling upon the Spirit of Jesus to direct us and to somehow use us for his good and perfect purposes. And we at Revive Wesleyan, we understand this. And thus, one of our stated values is, in fact, prayer. We say that we connect directly with God, individually and collectively. At all times, we listen. We repent. We lament. We give thanks. And we intercede for ourselves and others through the Holy Spirit. So with that said, over the next 4 weeks of this series, we are going to look at different aspects of prayer. The different aspects mentioned in our value statement. Listening, repenting, lamenting, giving thanks, and interceding for ourselves and others. And we're going to do that all in order to stay close and connected to our God, who is the builder. And to Jesus, who is our foundation. And so the first aspect of prayer that we want to discuss today is listening. Listening. Now let's be honest. Most people, including probably many of us in this room, most people treat prayer as a monologue. We talk to or even at God, but don't actually listen to him very much. And as a result, too many of us have a relationship with him that is seriously underdeveloped and undernourished. I mean, imagine for a second, if you could, a relationship where only one person speaks all the time. Some of us may be familiar with those kinds of relationships even in our life. But that is, and it would be verbally very unhealthy, right? And the person talking, do you know what? They might think that they have a good relationship. They might feel like they have a close and connected relationship. And we may, in fact, and think that way about our relationship with God and our prayer life. We might think, you know what? I talk a lot to God. But are you really listening? Are we really listening? Or is it too exclusively or completely one-sided? Is it those things as you reflect on that more today? Church prayer is communication with God, and good communication always includes listening and speaking. And you know what? Listening, it requires being still and being silent at times. Now, in saying that, stillness and silence, they are ancient spiritual practices that have largely been lost in a modern Western church world. Why? Well, because it involves something. Do you know what stillness and silence involves? It involves stopping. It involves stopping our activity and turning our attention to God. And in our busy, busy world, our loud, loud world full of distractions, this is really nothing short of a revolutionary practice, to be still and to be silent. Now, how it is expressing ourselves in modern times is through the idea of mindfulness, which maybe you've heard of. But make no mistake about it, it is nothing new. People of all religions have practiced for centuries this thing called stillness and silence. But I got to tell you, what makes stillness and silence unique for us as followers of Christ is that instead of emptying our minds into nothingness or to an altered state of consciousness, is that we empty our minds of daily distractions and worries in order for them to be filled with the very presence of God. In other words, we let the things of life, of this life in the world, we let those things just fade away. And we are intentional about becoming mindful of things like God's love and his work around us in the world. And we practice this into the context of a loving relationship with the creator of the universe, church. The creator of the universe who desires to make himself known to you and who desires to be close to you, to be connected to you. And with that said, don't you think that's a practice that would be well worth practicing? In fact, listen to the words of David. The words of David advising us on the importance of practicing this. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait how? Patiently. Wait patiently for him. And then another psalmist writes this in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. And by the way, just so you know, neither of these psalms were written during peaceful mornings over a nice cup of coffee and someone playing a harp nearby. Far from it, church. David calls the reader to be still. To be still in the midst of anxious time when even evildoers succeed. And the other was written when the world seemed to be ending. Because be still and know that I am God, it is preceded by these words. Though the earth give way, and though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though that may seem to be happening, I am to be still. I am to be at peace, and I am to know that he is still God and God Almighty. In other words, even when, or especially when you could say, everything seems to be going wrong, we are to be a people, church, who cease our anxious activity and are still before God, knowing who he is, knowing his character. No chores or tasks. No emails or texts, no phone calls or no to-do lists, just stillness, stillness. No TV, no music, no talk radio, just silence. In a place where there is no agenda, church, other than being in his very presence. And speaking of David, David was an excellent example of a man who had many tasks and many responsibilities, but who also understood the importance of simply being with God and inquiring of God and listening for and to God. And you know what? He learned this through his time of being a shepherd. He learned it as a musician. He learned it while on the run, living in caves. He learned it as a king. And you know what else? He learned it through many successes, but also many grievous mistakes. And so can you. And so can I. We can learn and we can grow in stillness and silence and listening. And we will hear from God. And we will be blessed through it. And for David, well, we really see his maturity in all of this stand out when he sees an opportunity to attack Philistine, Israel's arch enemy at that time. But you know what he does? He pauses. He pauses to ask God if he should. And he awaits God for a response. And when God does affirmatively, David and his men, do you know what they do? They go attack. And they realize this resounding victory. Let's read it really quickly in 2 Samuel 5, verse 17 to 20. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. Point being, okay, David included God. David included God in his planning, and he listened to, and he listened for God, and he followed through on what he heard from God. David did well at sitting with the Lord. He did well at sitting with the Lord in prayer, in all ways of prayer, which is why we will see a lot of him as in the series as it keeps unfolding. But particularly today, we see that he did well at listening for and listening to God. And the Hebrew word for sat, as in David sat well before the Lord, you know what? That doesn't refer to a bodily position, but rather it means to dwell, to dwell, to be close and connected. And sure, in this example, David gets a yes response, right? From the Lord, which is sometimes more palatable, right? But there are other times that we will see again as this series continues to unfold where David gets a hard to swallow no from the Lord. But you know what? He doesn't throw a hissy fit. He doesn't fight back. He doesn't argue back at God. And he doesn't even demand the answers as to why. Why are you giving me a no? So David overall was good. He was good at dwelling with and in the presence of the Lord Almighty and listening after or instead of speaking, you see, which sounds wonderful. But again, why is this so difficult? Why is this so difficult for us? Well, one, it could be time, right? We are a hurried and we are an overscheduled and we are a distracted generation to the point where there is always something more that needs to be done. But in the midst, I'm telling you, in the midst of all of our doing, we are killing our very being. So ask yourself and answer, what can be eliminated from your schedule today? What can be eliminated from your schedule this week to just create 15 minutes for you to be with God, primarily listening? What is it? What could you eliminate? Because time is a barrier to this. Or maybe doing this for us is difficult because we're afraid. Maybe we're afraid of what we might hear if we actually listen more for and to God. What might we hear? May we hear a word of conviction, perhaps? Or may we hear a word of love that we just don't feel like we are deserving of or that we haven't earned? Or even worse, what if? What if we hear nothing at all? Sometimes it's easier to fill our lives, church, with godly activities to avoid having to actually be in a relationship with God and to be quiet before Him, listening. And I'm not going to lie. It can be scary to be that close to as powerful a presence that God is. I mean, people throughout the Bible, throughout the narrative of the Bible, when in the presence of God, people have fallen flat onto their faces, crying out for mercy. Others have fallen to their knees in worship. Some have wept. Some have been frozen in fear. And others, well, others, they have just straight up died in His presence. And there are many more excuses, I'm sure. And there are many more reasons why we do not engage in this crucial spiritual practice of stillness and silence before the Lord. But I want to offer you just some little suggested ways to grow in this. First, perhaps, just start by sitting down. Just sitting down and taking a few deep breaths in and out to settle into the silence a little bit. And then maybe, you know what else you could do? Maybe just choose a very simple phrase to just express your openness and your desire for God and your desire for hearing His voice. Maybe simple words or simple phrases like Abba, Father, or Holy Spirit, or Father, or Jesus, just followed with something like, "Here I am, Lord. Father, here I am. I am listening." And then just close your eyes and be quiet, allowing His will, allowing His love, full access to your very being in your life. And when you become distracted, because you will in that moment, you just repeat your simple word or your simple phrase. You repeat that as a prayer back to God. "Father, I'm here. I'm listening." And I just want to encourage you all to just start small. Even if it's just 2 minutes. The goal is simple. The goal is to sit in His love. To sit in His love and to just let go, and to surrender your will to His. We are literally just opening ourselves up to hear Him speak, as opposed to the other way around. And when we listen, our plans, you know what? When we listen, our plans align with His, and our designs become His. And we submit to what He is building, rather than asking Him to participate in what we want to build. It's flipping the typical script that we have just become sadly too accustomed to, of speaking in prayer instead of listening. Now, earlier we talked about the current cost, right, of buying or building a home. But I want to close by you remembering this. I want to close by you remembering the cost of God's house, the cost of His house to be in our midst, to be in our very selves. It was much higher than any asking price, any building price of any physical home we could think of. Because you see, it cost God His own Son. It cost God His own Son. And remember that when Jesus died on the cross, do you remember what happened? The curtain of the Holy Holies, do you remember what happened? It was torn in two, church. His body, His death, that we will recognize and remember and declare in a few minutes together through communion, that meant that God was moving where? Closer and closer to us. Closer and closer to us than ever before, than ever in all of human history. Please don't ever forget what it costs to put you in right relationship with God and to allow you the privilege to be able to listen, and to be able to participate with God and His work within you and within the world. Because I'm telling you what, God is closer to you than you think. He is closer to you than you think. He is closer to you even than you are to yourself. And He desires to be close and connected with you through stillness and through silence and through listening prayer. And just remember, anything we build with our own resources, that will eventually fade away. This beautiful building that we are even in right now, it will someday fall apart. It will decay. But you and I, well, we can participate with the Holy Spirit to build for what is eternal and dwell with him forever. I want to invite the worship team forward, and we're going to just pray in advance of having some time of stillness and silence when we share in communion. And I just want to say for this next song, you can do as you please, but we're often in the practice of standing up and singing along. Maybe instead for this song, maybe instead of singing, maybe just instead stay seated and listen to and look at the words and take it all in and maybe see what God would have to say for you and to you in this song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come together. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to look at the narrative of the Bible and see that your dwelling place has just moved closer and closer and closer to a place where you just say, let me in. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Let me in. And we will do amazing things together. And as Rosie said earlier, the walls will come down and we can go on this free adventure together. So Lord, thank you for that opportunity. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you that you invite us in to be a part of what you're building and doing. Help us to listen better. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Who you are, that's who. just when I lose control. And that's who you are. And that's who you
We are about to share in communion together, which is something good to do together, but it's also a very individual act. And especially as we reflect upon today's sermon, of just focusing upon some stillness and some silence and just some listening. So you should have the elements with you. And I just want to describe, you know, what we were doing a little bit and why, and then I will instruct you on taking the elements. But on the night betrayed, Jesus had a meal with his friends, his closest friends. And at that meal, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this body, this bread represents my body that will be broken for you, prophesying the death he was about to face. And as we take of this right now, I just want you to really think about and listen for what he may be saying to you regarding that. And when I say that, I mean, you know, maybe there's something that you feel like you deserve punishment for. He's taken it. Thank him for that in this moment. He's taken that through his death. With that, let's share in the bread. Likewise, later at the meal, Jesus took the cup and he lifted it up and he said to those around him, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, prophesying again the death he would face where his blood would be shed, but it was a blood shed to wash you and I clean, clean of anything that we feel that we just aren't deserving of God's love for, because there needed to be a sacrifice and atonement. But that was Jesus Christ himself. And he said, this is the blood that washes you clean. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. Let's remember Jesus well as we drink of the cup. Dear good and heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your sacrifice. And what you say is through doing communion, we proclaim your death until you come again. And what that means is you are coming again. And Lord, we are just so thankful that we can know that right now things may be difficult, they may be challenging, but you are still writing your story. And we are just living in the middle time of your story, a time where you will dwell fully presently with your people again. Right now, Lord, we do proclaim you dwell within us. But there will come a day where it will be even just more of your presence surrounding us through our faith in you. So, Lord, we thank you for this act of communion that helps us to remember what you did and what you took on for us. And we say all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd love to invite you to stand and worship for our final song of the morning.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. No. Everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail.
I just want to let you know, if you've never met my friend Jesus, just talk to me, okay? And I will introduce you to him, and it's not as hard as you think, okay? He met me several years ago, and it was a pretty amazing thing, so I'd share my experience with you too, but just let me know if that's you. Hey, a couple quick things, and I'm going to send you on your way for this beautiful Sunday. Recently, the assistant fire chief of Springville Volunteer Fire Department approached me. And they're in a little bit of a pickle with needing a little bit of extra help for next Sunday from 12 to 3 with just wiping off tables, maybe greeting some people for their car show, their craft show, and their food fest. So there is a sign up at the Connection Center in the back. If that's something you'd be willing to help with for however long you could, that would be a blessing to our community and to them. The other thing I want to let you know, and this one I'm really excited about, I told you last Sunday, we have ice cream sandwiches for everybody here today. So on your way out, I've got some lovely teenage ladies helping me out back, and I think a young man too, maybe. But they're going to hand those out to you. If you do not do like dairy and stuff, we have popsicles, rocket popsicles too, a few of those. So just enjoy those. There's napkins back there. Visit maybe while you have one, and have a great week, okay? God bless you. Thanks for being here with us today.